Our democracy is hanging by a thread, but we know it's not about just winning and losing each battle. It's about persistence and building resilience.
That's why we're launching the Practivist Pod, the practice of activism made practical.
If you're looking for ways to get engaged or just for ways to stay sane, we want to help you navigate what comes next.
It's an exciting collaboration with political dynamo Jess Craven, author of the Chop Wood, Carry Water newsletter.
And grassroots activist Steve Pearson, host of the How We Win podcast.
Every week on the Practivist Pod, we're going to have important conversations with changemakers, give you practical ways to make an impact, have some fun, and inspire hope.
This is more than a podcast. It's a place for our community to grow our practice of advocacy for justice, equity, and progress.
Action is the best antidote for anxiety. So subscribe to the Practivist Pod today.
I'm Brian Karam, and I've spent decades covering politics. Now I'm taking you behind the scenes, one interview at a time.
Join us as each week Brian confronts the issues that matter, posing the questions you wish you could ask. No filter, no agenda, just the truth.
We're not here for sound bites. We're here for substance. Join me, Brian Karam, every week as we cut through the noise and get straight to it. This is Just Ask the Question, where curiosity will lead us to the facts.
Subscribe now on your favorite podcast platform. And remember, when you want answers, all you have to do is just ask the question.
Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of MSW Media and the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. Today, my returning guest is the host of Mama's Porch and Politics, Lisa Parker. She lives in Ohio, Appalachia. She has such an interesting take. She's very liberal, and she tells it like it is. I can't wait to talk to her, but before I do, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get a bonus What's Up episode just for patrons every Tuesday. It's kind of like my online journal, where I get a little more personal and I talk about whatever's on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Lisa Parker. Welcome back to the show, Lisa.
How you doing?
I'm good. It's good to talk to you. And I just, like, before we started recording, I reminded you that you sound like my Grammy from Appalachia.
Well, that's what we try to do.
Yes.
I'm everybody's mamaw these days.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because, you know, as we discussed the last time you were on the show, you live in Ohio, rural Ohio, and I say Appalachia, and say you pronounce it
Appalachia.
Appalachia,
like you're latching the door.
Gotcha. So
now, they send you to get voice lessons, they will say Appalachia. So with your voice training, that would be correct.
Okay.
But that's how we can tell the true people. That's how I knew J.D. Vance was a fraud.
Interesting. Oh, okay. So
we have key words.
Yes. Well, I mean, that's like a whole culture, right? You know,
it is.
So the last time you were on the show, it was October. It was right before November. And you told me that you saw fewer Trump MAGA paraphernalia out around where you live. You also mentioned your husband and you had gone to an open air market and there was like a, you know, a little table booth, whatever, for MAGA merchandise and no one was there. So has anything changed?
I have to tell you that the only MAGA flags I see these days are very tattered, torn, and not cared for.
Interesting.
I have not seen any red hats in my travels in this shitty weather. But I will say at the flea market, the poor old ladies there with the exact same flags in the exact same placement that they have been since October. So apparently she's not selling anything.
Interesting.
Much fewer confrontations and people in your face. They have kind of retreated because their lizard brains are just firing. They are just absolutely don't know how to respond or comprehend all of this.
So what is the take? I mean, you know, I know there's always going to be this group of people who are just going to be full-blown right-wing fascists no matter what happens. But, you know, we've got a lot of things happening right now that are not what they voted for. At least they thought they were not voting for this. Whether, you know, we've got the ICE situations, we've got Epstein, we've got tariffs, we've got all this stuff. Now we're going to talk about all this stuff later. There's possible war with Iran. Are they being, you know, their lizard brains are kind of malfunctioning, but like, are you hearing anything specific?
I think we got to step back and break it down. And the military did this years ago with people who were prisoners of war. Uh-huh. It's basically broke down into thirds. You got a third of the population that break immediately. Mm-hmm. And I bring that into the MAGA. They are very susceptible to being in a cult. They're very mm-hmm. susceptible. Then you've got a middle third that it would take a lot and they can come back. Mm-hmm. And then you've got another third that no mm-hmm. matter what mm-hmm. you do,
yeah,
you can't break them. And I think it is that you have people that are naturally very, very curious. So if you tell them something, they're going to pull the string. And those are the ones that never fall for a cult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you got the middle third that they'll resist, but then it gets to sounding good. And then mm-hmm. it gets to be, well, that's what I'd like. So they're telling you what you like.
Yeah.
And then you fall into the trap, but you can be brought back. Unfortunately, you have to feel a lot of pain. And I think that's where we have a third of the population right now. Mm. They bought into the wedge issues. They bought into the fear, but they had to feel the pain. And mm-hmm. now they are. And they're like, this isn't what I voted for. Well, I beg to differ. That's exactly mm-hmm. what you voted for. Mm-hmm. You didn't think it was going to affect you.
Yeah.
Now it has. Now you're feeling the pain that you wished upon others, and mm-hmm. it's not pleasant.
Right.
But you're always going to have that bottom third that no matter what, and, you know, taco's just a symptom. No matter what, scallywag, ne'er-do-well, piece of shit. I mean, you know, George Wallace had a huge following before he saw Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just always got that built in.
Now,
those are people that are not curious.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what their socioeconomic position is. They're just not curious. They love somebody else to think for them. Mm-hmm. And as long as I'm putting it to somebody else, I'm good with it.
Yeah. And that's absolutely. Now, are you hearing specific opinions about ICE? Because, I mean, I've seen some MAGAs, they think ICE is great, and then other MAGAs, not so much. I mean, is there any kind of a thing in Appalachia?
I'll tell you where I saw the turn is the don't tread on me Second Amendment people.
Oh, right.
With Alex Pretty, it was like, whoa, mm-hmm. whoa, whoa, now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think it's affecting a lot of people when they understand what this whole movement now is to suppress the First Amendment. Mm-hmm. And we're even seeing it on social media platforms. It's yeah. not just network TV. But I think that has really shook them up more than ICE because, you know, face it, I think part of the masking issue is they're J6ers. They're going to be mm-hmm. identified. And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
As far as ICE turning out here, we aren't now like a town near me called Chillicothe. They've mm-hmm. had some ICE there. We haven't seen it as much because they're concentrating on the larger urban areas. But it'll come.
Yeah. I mean, I have a feeling like in my area, it's weird because we have different places in this country that are almost like war zones with ICE everywhere. And then, you know, where I live, everything feels normal. I haven't seen ICE.
And I'll tell you the other thing, what I believe that is keeping them out of areas like Appalachia.
Uh-huh.
We take our sidearms and being a well, I'm trying to yeah. put this carefully.
Yeah.
And being a well-armed militia very literally.
Yeah.
And you've got to remember, I mean, Appalachia was the Matewan War. The, you know, we take this seriously. And I think they want to go into urban centers and areas where they don't have that population to take on. Can I
Agree.
say
And
that
then,
without
yeah,
getting in trouble?
I think they're also going into blue places specifically.
Right.
Like because where I live in Maryland, it's very extremely diverse. In
I
fact, I
love your
felt
governor.
I know he's awesome, Wes Moore. He's really
Yeah.
great.
Well, see, my husband and son are 82nd Airborne
Oh,
too, so that
really?
gives him a
Wow.
double, double, double.
Well, what was I just going to say? As far as ICE is concerned, though, I think, oh, I know what I was going to say. And I don't remember if I said this on last week's show, but I'm going to repeat it because I felt so bad. Last week, I went to the grocery store and because when I go to the grocery store, there are people from everywhere, right, ringing me up. There was a new girl, I had never seen her before, and she was wearing a hijab. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. She's from Afghanistan. So we started talking, and I'm gonna guess she's like 21, 22, very young. Anyway, so she said something, and I don't remember what it was, but I looked at her and I saw the green light because I like to talk to people when I'm out and about. And I just said, I'm really sorry that our country is so hostile and awful right now. And she, agreed with me. And we were just discussing ICE and everything. And then she said, well, ICE is only taking criminals. And I looked at her and I'm like, now, no, that's not true. And I had literally just seen the statistic that I think of the 70,000 people that they had in concentration camps, 12 to 17% were criminals. So I told her that and her eyes got really big and she said, well, now I'm scared. And I felt like shit. But also I feel like, well, you know what? It was a slap across the face to her. But maybe she's, because I told her to check out indivisible.org. I told her that there are different things that she can do to keep her family safe and, blah, 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 blah. And so, I hope, if anything, I hate that I had to upset her, but at the same time, I feel like at least she's aware,
Well, and that brings it further, Kim. I mean, okay, the same woman working in the store, she goes outside in the dark after her shift. A van pulls up with masked men in ragtag kind of a uniform looking stuff and grabs her to throws her in the van. Are those criminals or are they law enforcement officers? What's her safe? I mean, it's a mess. And I'm telling you, there isn't a law enforcement officer from the county level on up through the federal level that doesn't have to show their face, have proper ID, have a badge number, and be in a damn uniform that's identifiable. I mean, just those basic things is outrageous. One of my Substacks I read right off of the Department of Justice's website, hey, this is what you do after a shooting. And they're not even following procedure that's right there on the Department of Justice website.
Of course they're not, because they're just lawless.
They are lawless. They are the J6 hooligans.
Yes, they are. 100%. So what about Epstein? Because the thing with Epstein, it's not just about, as we know now, violent sexual abuse against children. We're finding out that Epstein had ties with Putin. He had ties with the Israeli government, governments all over the globe. Such disgusting. I mean, the things that have been coming out have been so disgusting, and we haven't even seen all of it. I guess there's like, I don't know, millions of pages or something, and we've only seen a very small percentage. And what we have seen ha is just stomach churning. So what, how is that playing in the red world?
Oh, not well at all. Now, you know, we got Blondie Pambondi, the protector of pedophiles. I gave her the perfect off-ramp. I tried to save that woman, and she would not take my advice. I told her to leave a nice letter in her office after she cleaned it out at midnight. To have her a plane ready to go to Dubai, because Lord knows they've already paid her a shit ton of money
Yeah.
anyway as their foreign consultant, and get the hell out of Dodge and give us some peace. But
Yeah.
no, she wouldn't adhere it, so she brought this on herself. I think she's going to end up in The Hague.
Wow.
I think the best answer for the US is Taco's going to get impeached because JD, now that we know that the reason they can't invoke the 25th is half of the damn cabinet is in the Epstein files. JD's going to have to rely on Congress to impeach. When Taco's impeached, I think we need to turn him and specific people over to The Hague, reinstate Jack Smith, send him back over there, and let The Hague try him.
So now, as do you think JD would want to impeach him?
No, JD will be left completely out. He'll look like Mr. Innocent. But then JD's benefactor is all over the Epstein files. Now, they talk to Wexner, but Peter Thiel's in them. Elon's in them. I mean, I can't believe Steve Bannon's ass hasn't been drug in there, but you know,
Well, a lot of files we haven't seen yet, so there
oh,
is that.
a lot. I'm proud of the UK, what they're doing. I
I
think
know.
Europe's jumping on it. But the number one, the absolute ground zero was, if Lex Wexner had not financed him on this blackmail trafficking cabal, it would never have happened. It starts with Les Wexner. I'm sorry.
Wow.
What man is a goddamn billionaire that turns over all of his money and gives complete statutory authority to a man who was not a money manager, who was a school teacher of math, and gives him everything if the real business plan wasn't blackmail and trafficking
Yeah.
on an international level?
I mean, this is huge. And now the UN isn't getting involved because they're calling it crimes against humanity. And I think that's fascinating that that's happening. I've been hearing, basically, I'm gonna change that up. I think that in because we're not gonna ha we don't have a justice system that's going to do anything right now. Our justice
No.
system is completely useless. And so we have, people don't understand, and I don't fully understand how we're gonna finally figure it all out, except I know that we are going to. And I don't, one of the things that I like to say to people, I know I'm kind of going all over the place. My mind is just like a mess right now, but I like to remind people that what we're seeing now is so awful, and I hope that the majority of them wind up in the Hague. I hope the majority of them have to, I mean, what the guy, the former Prince Andrew was arrested
Andrew
today.
Mountbatten, yes.
Yes, he was arrested today on his 66th birthday. So
Well,
we are seeing justice.
here is the issue with the Epstein files. We are finding out that they were redacted back when Kash Patel was working FBI agents around the clock, and they did those heavy entire page redactions, and they loaded them into the DOJ system already redacted. So when Congress went in there to look at the unredacted files, they're not there, they're
Yeah.
redacted. And they're all screaming, "Where's the originals?" If you'll remember back in October when we first spoke, I said the Queen got everything. The Queen has had everything all along, which means Charles has it now. So it's not that we have lost those files. If we
Right.
really need them, and if we go to The Hague, the
Yes.
King of England's got every goddamn thing we had, he has.
Wow.
That's where they are.
Wow. Okay, so that's going to be interesting. And so, yeah, so the thing is like as much now I hope what we've been seeing for decades and decades and decades is the rich white man gets to commit the crimes and then gets away with it.
Oh, now you've got the whole Epstein class. It's even beyond that. We have the
Yes.
Epstein class,
Yes.
then we got the rich folk
Right.
that can afford to kick, like Taco did, just keep kicking cans down the
Yeah.
road and running out the clock and stuff that nobody else can do. And then you have the average citizen, and then you got poor schmucks who, take deals because that's the best they're going to get because they cannot get good legal counsel.
Yeah. Well, and what I'm hoping is that obviously we want to see everybody brought to justice, but this is the way I look at it. I mean, and I hope, this is a reckoning and we keep hearing that and we're seeing that all these people were involved. We understand right now the United States is just not going to do what it needs to do because of the person in charge and the people in charge. But what we can do and what I try to remind, my friends and followers on either this podcast or Facebook or whatever is eventually we may not see justice for every single person. And instead of spending our energy on being angry at that, we need to put our energy into keeping our elected officials, from not being, don't like, how can I say this? We have to stay on them so that they make rules so it's harder for these oligarchs and for all these criminals to basically protect themselves.
Well, I have a perfect solution.
All right.
I hope Ken Martin listens to this or gets the idea somewhere. We need to, every Democrat that is running, and this is going to be really hard for the Democratic Party, just as hard as the Republican Party, to commit to redoing Citizens United. The only reason Citizens United is where it is because we didn't have a law. We need to make it, we need to actually define what a human being is as a voter who may contribute, cap that amount, and on PACs and super PACs in lettering as large as, paid for by the friends of, in the same size font underneath it, a website for a list of donors. So you know who the donors are. But the Democrats have to commit to do that because they're going to lose a hell of a lot of money. But if we take the big money back out of it,
Then they don't make
campaign
money either.
finance, they're not making money either. And the Supreme Court cannot change the rules because you've covered free speech, you've capped it, and you have defined what a voting human being is. A corporation is not a voting human being. Then you turn right around and codify what bodily autonomy is, and then you codify in voting rights. And if we do just those first three things in the first 30 days, we're in like Flint. You have fixed the problem. That simple. I'm an old mammal, but goddamn, we make things harder than they need to be.
I know. Why can't you just run things, please?
I'm telling, hey, I've already figured out how to fix our Central America immigration problem.
So how do we do
I've even
that?
got a, I've got a, I've got a
Become
thing for that. And it's
our
simple.
president.
No, it's just, damn it, will you put some common sense into
I
this?
know, I know. Well, that's the thing. There's so much money, there's so much hubris, there's so much bullshit, and we just I hope you're Oh, you know what? I want to ask you this. I've been seeing this is I did not plan to ask you this, but I'm going to give you three names. Well, I'll give you four names, but the three names. So obviously we don't even have the midterms yet, but let's skip ahead just for funsies going to 2028, right? So I know everybody's all excited about who's going to be the nominee, and we don't know yet, and we're just trying to get to it because we hate everything. So there's Mark Kelly, not that he's running, but I'm just looking at people, right? I'm seeing Mark Kelly, and I'm seeing how he could, and I'm only going to name men right now, but I see how he could possibly capture that vote, right, of the nation because he's an astronaut, because Gabby Giffords is his wife. He's got so many, he's just got a really great resume, and he's an American hero. But then on the other flip side, there's John Ossoff, which right now he does not have like a national presence, but he is a senator in Georgia. He's a good-looking younger man. He's giving me Obama vibes big time. So there's him. I don't know if you've followed him too much lately, but there is buzz. People are saying, okay, when it, you know, if he wins in Georgia, Again, I think this could be like a front runner type of thing for 2028. And then the last one, and I'll, what is his name? Oh my God, I can't remember. He's the bald Democratic strategist from Louisiana. God, I can never.
Oh, James Carville.
Yes. So he thinks J.B. Pritzker is his choice for right now. So of those, and then I'm going to throw in Gavin Newsom because Gavin is, you know, people are talking about him. Of those four people.
Well, I'm going to throw in another one to file up your game.
Okay.
Don't overlook Andy Beshear because
yes,
I remember 1976 when nobody dreamt Jimmy Carter was going to get it.
Yeah.
And he did, and he was a damn good. But Andy Beshear is in a unique situation of where he can gather in. Remember that middle third I talked about?
Yes.
And I'm doing my drop today on overlooking rural America, and that's why we keep losing elections. So I throw Andy Beshear in there.
So
too.
Now would he be your choice for right now? Like, I mean, if you were,
I won't do that kind of thing.
Okay.
But I will tell you that people need to start paying attention to what Andy Beshear has accomplished.
Okay.
And what he did. He got no help from FEMA in the state of Kentucky. And man, if he gets Amy McGrath in there as a senatorial wing woman,
interesting.
Better watch
okay.
out for Kentucky. Some Appalachia blood's what we need. Some common damn sense is what we need in there.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, now I think, obviously we know a woman can win because Hillary won, right? She won the popular vote, but she did not win because of the Electoral College. I'm not going to say the same thing about Kamala Harris because of, I think part of the reason she lost is because of the media coverage and people just either getting sick, like a lot of Democrats went over to Trump. I don't understand that. Or they didn't vote.
They didn't vote.
They just didn't
did
vote.
A damn show.
That's right.
But I will tell you what. Let's back up here.
Okay.
Let's be raw here. Let's just lay it on the line.
Yeah.
Joe Biden promised he was just going to run one term.
He
was going to be a placeholder, and he backed out on his promise. That poor woman had to pull it together over the kerfuffle of him saying he was going to run when everybody knew he shouldn't. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, the Democratic Party, from the state levels up to the national level, had gotten into this thumb-on-the-scale routine, and you're going to take who we shove down your throat, and I'm thinking about the Bernie Sanders, you know, then we'll take our ball and go home. And I think people were pissed off that they didn't get a chance in the primary. The primary that year, they already said it's going to be Joe. Nobody gets to run. And then you go 90 days or so, and oh, by the way, you're taking Kamala. That really upset people. And I got to be honest, rightfully so. Because if she'd have won a primary fair and square on her own, she'd have been our president right now. But people felt we did not get our choice. The Democratic Party did it once again, and they've got to stop doing that. They're doing it here in the state of Ohio. You know, I love Sherrod Brown. I truly do. Sherrod's got to finish out two terms. He's going to be 76. And then is he going to run for another 6 years? And we got an 82-year-old senator. And he waited. He held out some really young, talented people. And they just coalesced immediately and said, oh, that's great. This is who you're going to take. Well, he lost for a reason, and I'm not real comfortable he's going to pull back together, and that upsets me.
Yeah.
Sherrod's a good man, but you know.
I mean, I think
the establishment Democratic Party is not listening to these young people.
Yeah. No, they're not.
But they've
got
these big old boys with these war chests, which gets back to Citizens United.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, look, I know that there are going to be people listening who, because I mean, I absolutely criticize the Democratic Party, and I think that we should criticize when necessary because
absolutely.
It is a democracy. And
I vote for the policies. The Democratic Party follows the policy. It's good to be good to human beings. But the
Exactly.
party itself better do some changing. And one of the things they did is decided they could win without rural America. And it's biting them in the ass, and it has for the last 20 years.
Yeah, and it's true. And the thing that everyone needs to remember when, I mean, I get what we're up against. Believe me, I get it. I lived in Moscow in Russia in, 1981. I saw a communist country, which was way worse than what we're experiencing now. I'm not naive about democracy. And the thing, people don't understand, they don't even participate, and then they have all these expectations, and it's, I don't know, it's just so frustrating. Anyway, I'm going off into another tangent, and I need to stop doing that. Okay, first, you know what, one of the things that I have here that I wanted to ask about is just what are some of the things that you've been covering and that are important to you that we haven't already discussed?
Well, I'm trying to keep people focused. We've got to start reparticipating in our democracy. So you did a good, great segue into that, because it's only functional if we show up. And one of the things I brought up is, there again, the Democratic Party has just, all it's done was the larger urban areas. There's more votes there. I get that. Except my little old county of Jackson County, we'll take it for, we had a 78% voter turnout. So
That's
that's a drop in the
huge.
bucket. That's huge. Drop in the bucket. Ohio has two-thirds of its counties are considered rural counties. All of the rural counties had big turnouts like that. So drip, 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 we're filling the bucket. The big counties, Cuyahoga, Franklin, Hamilton, Stark, their turnout was in the low 60s. So guess what happens to the bucket of when you have rural voters, you're not paying attention. Then Trump wins 52 to 48, which is not a mandate, but he won. He won a state that Obama won twice. But you know what? Obama went to the rural areas.
Yeah, we just
And
we have
this
to hit
time,
them.
and Kamala Harris never showed up in Ohio at all, and then wondered why she got her ass kicked. We've got there again. If we fix Citizens United, we're going to fix this. I only have to campaign in 6 out of 50 freaking states.
Well, and that I'm just going to say, because it brings me back to, it's important to criticize and not attack, right? And I don't attack. I but we have to be critical. When you're a football coach, what do? You go back and you watch the plays and you say, here's what we did right and here's what we did wrong, and this is what we have to do moving forward.
Absolutely.
So that's all I ever want to say. It's not, I don't hate people in the Democratic Party. Sometimes I hate what they're doing because I don't think they're fighting hard enough, or they're voting for they're voting in his nominees and things like that when they don't have to.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up. People are done. They want fighters. They want that James Carville, you hit me, I'm going to hit you back harder. And I swear to God, not a one of them, not a one of them better back down on this fight with ICE. They better not back down on that funding, number one. And number two, they better not back down on the SAVE Act, because that's nothing but suppressing women voters.
Well, what's interesting about that, I'm going to read something to you, and I have to be careful here because it's about people that I know. But my mother had sent me a text last night, and she said she had watched Carol Lennig, and she was talking about the SAVE Act. And so there are people we know, right? Okay, so the people that we know are MAGA, and they're a married couple, and the guy is not originally, I mean, he's been in America his whole life, and I think that he became a citizen probably, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that. But he is not, he is a naturalized citizen. He may get a letter from DHS asking if he voted and blah, 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 blah. So that would be, I know they would freak out about that because I'll bet you this MAGA couple has no idea what's going on. They don't know anything about the SAVE Act. And then where the wife is concerned, it's not her maiden name. So if her driver's license does not match to her, birth certificate or whatever they make her bring, then she's not going to be able to vote. So, and I'm fortunate that I don't have to worry about that, but still, it's like It's ridiculous. I don't even think MAGA knows that they're going to be disenfranchising MAGA with the
Well,
Save
first
Act.
of all, they've made a problem where there is none. Most people have that real ID so they could fly. You got a big portion of the population that has a passport. I had Department of Energy Q clearances. For God's sakes, this is absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to fly.
So you don't think it's going to pass?
They are getting so much flack, and I tell my viewers every day, use your five calls act. Tell them you better, and it's powerful. I mean, that's why they're that app, whoever came up with that was brilliant.
So wait, what app are you talking about?
Five calls app. You put in your zip code and it brings up your congressman and your senators. Their phone number, you click on that, then it gives you a list of issues of the day. It'll even give you a script if you can't ramble on. You push a button, you make your call, and then at the end, it wants to know if you made personal contact, no contact, or left a message. And then after you make your three calls, it shows you how many people have called about that subject. It's great.
That's amazing.
It is great. And we are crashing.
I want to get that. Oh, my God. That's really
five calls.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's in both app stores, whether you're Apple or Android. And it's called Five Calls. It is wonderful. Get everybody on it. So I got people every morning, my retirees, they just sit there, push a button, and they start. And it's real easy. Boom, boom, boom.
That's what it needs to be. It needs. I'm going to write this down. Because I think, you know, people feel so overwhelmed, and they feel like, you know, I don't have time to sit there on the phone and blah, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Sure, and looking it up and what's in it's all right there for you. You push on the button for their phone number, then you pick your topic out, and then you say how you contact them. It is simple, easy peasy, and it's right there every day, all three of them, plus a list if you can't think of what you're going to talk to them about. And they even add scripts if you want to.
This is just awesome. I'm so glad
it
to know about this.
It is amazing.
Yay!
See,
we need to get this out. I need to tell Allison
Gill. Yes, you
Gill.
Need to get it out. I'm surprised you didn't know about.
I know.
Here, an old Appalachian grandma's topped you now. That's bad. That's going to hurt your image. But I'll tell you, my women of a certain age are crazy about that app.
That's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to tell Allison Gill of Mueller, she wrote Daily Beans. I don't know if she knows about it, so I want to let her know, and I want her to tell everybody. Just real quick, I want to ask you, okay, so we all know that Donald Trump is not very healthy, and everybody's like, you know, taking bets on when his day finally comes.
Have you seen my three nursing drops?
No.
Well, you know, since Wrestling Lady McMahon said that nurses are no longer professionals.
Yes.
Mamaw has volunteered to be his nurse. So my first one is about being his nurse and starting his IVs and all that. My second one is I actually show the prep kit for his rectal craniotomy so we can remove J.D. Vance out of his ass. And then my third one is, due to his blood work, we found out Taco does not have dementia. He has mad cow disease from all them McDonald's burgers. Do you need to watch him?
Oh, my God. Okay. Seriously, though.
Quit being cesarean. It'll give you high blood pressure.
But I want to ask you this. Okay, so, like, let's just say he's not there anymore, right? He goes away.
Only the good die young, honey.
Yeah,
only
I know.
The good die young.
But one day he's not going to be there, whether he gets impeached or whatever happens. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to, basically, there was this man this morning, and he was on YouTube, and he was pontificating about Epstein and this and that. And he was talking about Trump, and he said, you know, Trump ran on releasing the Epstein files because there's all these QAnon people talking about, you know, all the pedophiles, blah, blah, blah. So they were actually right, but they were wrong about who it was, or at least in part. So Donald Trump is the one saying, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to release this because, you know, he just figured everybody would forget about it and he could just move on. And that's not what happened. So At some point, he's not going to be here anymore. Whether he is or whether he's not, this man made the point that the conspiracy theorists are more loyal to their conspiracies than Donald Trump. And I'm wondering if you agree with that. And when I say conspiracies, I mean, Epstein is no longer a conspiracy. We see what it is. Mm-hmm. But I mean, are they going to be more loyal to what they have been screaming about for years?
Well, first of all, QAnon, you haven't heard shit about QAnon.
I haven't heard anything.
That has dropped off.
Yeah.
Here's what I always laughed about QAnon. I just told you I had a Q clearance. Well, where I worked, so did the janitor. And we used to laugh, if you wanted to find out anything, find the janitor, because they went through the trash.
Yeah.
And they would read stuff. So I've envisioned the Q, the head Q, when they talk about this top secret Q clearance, was the janitor out at the plant, and they're just sitting down in the basement typing, let's see what shit I can get these people to believe, you know?
Right.
So you're not hearing about that, but you have people that have built entire brands off a conspiracy thing. And so they're looking, you know, like I'm toast. So they don't want to let that dog go. But I have to give Joe Rogan a lot of credit. I am, you know, Joe Rogan's like, whoa, wait a minute, dude. Mm-hmm. I helped you get in there, but I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
I think your Erica Kirk is going to just drive that whole turning point into the
good
ditch, seeing as how Usha upped her and kind of took Jimmy off the market.
Oh my God.
Paying for that fourth baby. You know, I took him off the market. So I don't know what Usha's going to do. And then Stephen Miller's wife was worried. So she took Stevie off the market, although I don't know who in the hell would want that. And then if Peter Thiel gets in trouble over these Epstein files, I don't know who's going to finance that whole deal anyway. So,
wow. But do you think that, because the MAGA is, you know, they were all about Hillary and her pizza restaurant and all of this
and
stuff.
And her emails. Oh, my God, them emails.
But, I mean, do you think that do they stick with Epstein, or do they believe the files, or at least do they believe the truth of what's coming out, or do they only, because, like, what I noticed when.
They'll find something else to move on to.
Yeah, that's pretty much what
they're, their lizard brain cannot take the leader, their savior. And I blame this on these white Christian nationalists.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. You said you wanted to protect the babies. You said you wanted to protect women. But here you go. You anointed the man who, according to Ted Lieu, raped 11 girls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, moves on you. Are you still going to anoint him? Are you still following that man as the next coming of Jesus Christ, who was a brown-skinned, dark man immigrant?
Yeah, really. I know. I mean, and I think there will be, like, I agree with what you say, the thirds. I think most people will come along. Of course, there's always going to be that group of people who just, they don't care.
Yeah, the third. And you know, people say, I don't understand how this one person in my family. Well, families have a broad base of how the gene pool comes together. But I have come to my professionally unprofessional, untrained, just mammal logic that I just think that people that are naturally very curious are immune.
Yeah.
Then the middle portion, it takes a lot, but they'll come back around, and they will, as long as you extend a hand and, okay, you screwed up, but, you know, let's move on. But you got that one third that throughout history, people forget, we had people during World War II that were pro-Hitler in this country, in our government. You had people that went along with McCarthyism.
Mm-hmm.
You're always just going to have that baked in. Yeah. So, and then, you know, we talked about the money in this country. Well, if you'll remember the turn of the century, we had the robber barons. Mm-hmm. That's why we had these antitrust laws came in. And the robber barons did exceptionally well until they didn't. And they're who crashed the stock market. But prior to that, the rest of America was not doing well. So they talk about the stock market crash because it did end with the wealthy people, but the regular citizens, we had soup lines for 10 years or better. We had, you know, remember the Grapes of Wrath were written about that, and that was before the crash of 39.
Yeah. Wow.
So we're watching a mirror, except people aren't taught history anymore because, you know, wrestling lady says we don't need that. Wrestlers are a profession, but nurses aren't, and
Right.
teachers aren't.
There you go. Well, one of the things, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but and most people aren't. And it's funny because my boyfriend is the one who told me about it. And he's like, I just want to keep this on the down low. I don't want Republicans to know about it. But it's called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is a stupid name. But basically what okay, so I'm going to read. It says, is an agreement among a group of US states and the District of Columbia to award all their electoral votes to whichever presidential ticket wins the overall popular vote. So what this means is if we can pass the national popular, you know, if we get enough states to pass, the Electoral College won't matter anymore. And right now, Virginia just passed it, and there are literally 48 electoral votes left. We need 48 electoral votes in order to get this thing passed, which just depends on, what states are going to do it. I don't have it. And if you look up, go ahead.
I'd never heard of it, but there's a much simpler solution that could be done in a voting rights bill, and that's simply to go with awarding the electors proportionately to the vote instead of winner take all. That takes care of the whole problem, and you don't have to enact something like that. Make all states proportional, and it'll work
Interesting.
out. And
Well,
then
we've got to do
you will
something.
always elect the popular vote winner if you apportion the electors that way.
And we just have to do it. And we have to do it so that it's not like the next administration can come in and cancel it out.
But there again, you've got to get the Democrats in, and they've got 2 years. They've got this narrow window, even with Taco there, if we can vote enough of them in to make it veto-proof. They got to get it done, and they got to get it done fast.
Now, what do you think? Okay, this is the last thing I'm going to ask you. But as far as the threat, and of course he's going to make good on it, regardless if Trump's the president or if J.D. Vance is the president in November, I imagine we're going to see ICE out at the polls. They're going to do everything they can to intimidate and scare the shit out of us. So my question to you, though, is what do you anticipate for the midterms?
There again, I think it's on where you live. I just can't imagine even my most ardent MAGA supporters in my neck of the woods tolerating armed men at their polling places where Mamaw's in there working as a poll. I don't see it. And there's a very large swath of this country, God love Minnesota, that are not going to be intimidated. And it's kind of like, sweetheart, do you want a drink? And just walk right past them. Hand them a
So,
margarita.
do you think we're going to have a huge blue wave?
I do.
Do you think we'll get the
And
Senate?
I do.
Oh my God,
I
please,
do.
please.
And I'll tell you what, I have kind of been fascinated by, and I sent you a list of some Senate candidates I've interviewed with this independent movement of veterans who have sworn utmost to the Constitution of the United States. They are left-leaning, and they're in states that just by putting a D after your name's a kiss of death. So they're going to run as independents. And I think they can pull it off because they are working and they are ahead. And a couple of those states don't even have a Democrat running in opposition. So, and I think it might be very healthy to have a group to join Angus and Bernie.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We absolutely need to make some changes. You know, I
The
think
most
that.
efficient governments are the ones that aren't a binary choice, but that you have to work and build coalitions. You hear in Europe about building a coalition government, and I think those are the better. And then you don't have anybody that's got a super majority.
I mean, we keep hearing about how America is supposed to be so great, and it just isn't anymore. I think for a while it really was.
Well, when NATO puts out a statement that the number one problem is the wrecking ball of Donald Trump ruining world order, it should send a chill down anybody's spine.
So, actually, I lied. This is the last question, but overall,
I miss talking to you. Just keep asking away.
You're so cute. Overall, how do you feel about us saving democracy? And then not only that, because I know you, I have a feeling you feel pretty good about it, but rebuilding this country once this is over, like, how do you see that happening? Do you see that happening?
I think we are educating a whole new young generation. When I go out on these protests and stuff, the thing that just makes my heart swell is you see all these gray-haired people and then all these young people. The people that are busy working and raising families, they're not there. And these young people remind me of the ones in the 60s that got us all this shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So if we get people that are back to being active participators of democracy, again, taking their civil duties back, I feel really good about it. Worst thing that happened was voter apathy, which Citizens United dramatically created. I think Fox News does not have the tread that it used to. I think all network TV is really downward. People are so fed up, and I don't like being censored. And I think that we won't come under a dictatorship because this country just wasn't founded that way.
Yeah,
Europe is used to having monarchs, if that makes any sense to you. That's their culture. They are used to being under a monarch, even the ones that are now democracies,
right?
A monarchy, they're used to. Not us. We just ain't ever been built that way.
No, we've been indoctrinated on liberty and freedom. And even if we didn't have the freedom we thought we had, we were still screaming about it.
So telling the other guy to shut up, and then when it says, "Yeah, but it's also going to impact you," now wait a minute.
Yeah.
So And I just think these online communities, I think people like you and I got fed up with the inertia, and we said, okay, we'll get the information out. And we are, and it's working.
Yeah, and what you're doing, I mean, you're really on it all the time. I've actually pulled back a little bit because I'm working, you know, behind the scenes now. But I mean, it's just, I think a lot of people are doing that. We're stepping up ourselves because legacy media has failed us miserably. And eventually something's going to have to be done with that.
And who in the hell is Barry Weiss?
I know, that fucking bitch.
Where the hell did she come from?
Hell.
And I'd like to get her on my porch and she and I'd have a nice little session there.
She'd be afraid of you.
I bet you I'd win.
I think you would win. I just don't think she would do it. Oh my God, that's so funny. I just absolutely love listening to your takes. And it's just so fascinating because you are in the thick of the, you know, of red country. So it's good to hear that there are fewer and fewer red hats around. And I think we're going to be doing well. I know I'm going to have you back on before we have the midterms. Of course, I'll be asking you about them again. But for now.
And our midterms are going to be in May. And I'm kind of holding back, except for David. David's promised he'll be on my porch just as soon as the weather breaks. I miss our buddy David. But, you know, that
David
tells
Tupper.
Me a lot about Amy Acton.
Yes.
Her first choice was a outstanding one.
David Pepper is just awesome. I'm going to have him on
we have
at
Dr.
some point
Pepper.
Too. Yes, Dr.
We
Pepper.
Have Dr. Pepper.
So before I let you go, tell everyone where the best places are to find you.
Well, Facebook, which is Mammals, apostrophe S, Porch with the letter N, Politics. And that's the same thing for YouTube. Blue Sky. What else am I on? Instagram.
Look at
and
you.
Substack.
You're just dominating. Thank
No,
you.
I've just, oh my God, I have fallen into this and I need to talk to you sometime. I have just accidentally become too big for my britches.
Well, no,
I
you're a leader.
I get phone calls. Who's your representative? And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You're talking to her.
Well, you're making a difference. And see, that's what this is all about. I keep saying no one's going to come to save us. We're going to save us.
Nope.
This is how we're doing it, because
We got to
we're just
do it
doing it
ourselves.
ourselves.
And
And
we
don't
got to
be
build these
afraid.
communities. And that's what one thing you got to give Taco back in 2016. That is what he tapped into and did brilliantly.
Yes.
He made online communities,
Yes.
and we had this quiet undercurrent. That's why we all got hit upside the head. Now we're doing it. Now we have figured it out. You've got Texas Paul out there. You've got Leanne with Politics Girls. You've got the high, you've got what you're doing, what I'm doing, and all of us are serving an important segment, and we're all serving different people, which is good. We're not, not lumping everybody into one monolithic group, and it's working.
Yay. Well, I just love you, and I'm so glad that you could be on the show. Thank you so much. And of course, I will be
Oh,
having you
thank
back
you.
again. You take care, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Moji Alawodeyal from the Feminist Buzzkills Live Pod, the only podcast that helps you navigate the news in this post-Roe anti-abortion hellscape. Each week, with co-host Liz Winstead, we dissect all the news from that sketchy intersection of abortion and misogyny with providers and activists working on the ground. The cherry on top is we have amazing comedy guests who help us laugh through the rage. Feminist Buzzkills Live drops Fridays wherever you pod. Listen and subscribe, because when BS is popping, we pop off.
Care Talk with Laura Packard is a podcast covering healthcare in America from a progressive perspective. Our healthcare system is broken, and we all know insurance companies are out of control. If you don't have health insurance, or don't understand the differences between insurance plans, or have surprise medical bills, out-of-control prescription drug costs, or can't get the care you need, listen to Care Talk with Laura Packard weekly on Tuesdays. What's going to happen to your healthcare under the Trump administration? From prescription drug prices to health insurance costs, from healthcare for seniors and people with disabilities to reproductive care, from care for veterans to public health, including vaccinations. Healthcare experts answer your questions every week, and they go in depth on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, private insurance, and more. Go to healthcarevoices.org/caretalk or search for Care Talk with Laura Packard on your favorite podcast app to listen today.